Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 5 of our study of the book of James and 1st and 2nd Peter. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1st Peter 5, 12 through 14. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Peter 5, starting at verse 12. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Oh, I love that. So one of the things, right off the bat, we know who Silas is. He was accompanied Paul on a lot of his missionary journeys. And so I love the fact of knowing that, you know, Silas served with Paul, and he's also here serving with Peter. And he's writing this for Peter for one reason or another. It's very often, and there's various thoughts on when Peter wrote this and under what conditions. And it's not 100% certain what age he was. There's some debate about that. But one of the things that I wonder, you know, was Peter going blind because he was so old? Or is it that, you know, these guys suffered? And so Peter's talking about suffering from a perspective of experience. And we see some of these things written about, you know, Paul. We see in the book of Acts, we see some of the things that he suffered, but when he gives us a long list of the things that he suffered in one of his epistles, the reference is escaping me right now. He says, you know, I spent a day and the night in the sea, and I've been beaten. I've been at the 40 lashes minus one, however many times. You know, he lists off all the things that he's suffered. And when we look at that list, it's like most of it is extra biblical, meaning things that are not recorded in the book of Acts or in scripture elsewhere. So we know that Paul suffered a lot more than even what we know. And so I wonder about someone like Peter. It's like, I wonder, can he not write anymore because his hand's all screwed up because they've tortured him? Or, I mean, what's the deal? What's going on with Peter that he needs this? And again, there's lots of different thoughts, and he was, you know, advanced in age, couldn't see, or different things. But it just, and that may be true. Again, there's different opinions about all of that. But I wonder, like, why does he need Silas? It makes me wonder, what does he need Silas for, especially given the fact that he's talked about suffering so much? And if he needs Silas because, like, he can't write for one reason or another because persecution has taken things away from his earthly body. We can gain a lot from listening to the writings of someone who has suffered physically and still says it is worth it. We know for a fact that Paul suffered, and Paul says it is worth it. Paul, after listing all of the things that he suffers, says, you know, I count it as rubbish compared to the exceedingly great reward of what I gain in eternity. Everything in this life, the greatest things I've gained in this life, the hardest struggles, they're momentary light afflictions, is what Paul said, compared to the weight of eternal glory, of being in the presence of God. And I wonder if Peter isn't, through his life, saying something similar in this book. I also love the fact that Silas, you know, some people think of Paul as like the super apostle, and whereas with kind of the hindsight that we look through, the lens that we look through, looking at the books that are written, we have a bit different view of the early days of the church, I think, than actually were. I think Paul was one of the apostles. I don't think he was the greatest apostle. I think he was the most prolific writer and distributor of these things. But I don't necessarily even know if he was the hardest working. But I love to see the fact that Silas served Paul and he served Peter. I just think that's cool. Verse 13. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. I love the very intimate and personal greetings that the writers of the epistles in the New Testament write. This makes you remember that there are real people with real affection, real loves, real feelings and tenderness going on between these people. It's a powerful reminder. I think it's really important not to make the works of the New Testament just works of doctrine and theology, which they are. They're valuable for that, but they're also reminders of the bonds of love as believers that we share. There really should be these deep bonds of love for we can say these kind of things. Peace to all of you. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Be so connected that you love each other when you see you regard each other highly. You respect one another. You lay your lives down for one another. I think it's powerful. It's a powerful reminder. Sometimes people skip over these things. I think they're very important to make sure that you slow down, you take the time to read these things. One of the reasons I encourage you to read each one of these books 10 times in 10 weeks is so that even the small things like this, the things that would be very easy to pass over, if you read it through 10 times, even if you're not trying to, one of those times, it's very, very possible and very likely that something, even in these final greetings that you'd be tempted to skip over, will reach out and just grab your heart and touch you in a way that you never expected it to. It's so powerful. What Peter means when he says Babylon is not clear. And also his son, Mark. Some people think that he's talking about John Mark, the one who also served with Paul and who would have known Silas as well and Barnabas. It could be that, I mean, Peter was married. Could have been that he had a son named Mark who was not John Mark, that it's his actual son named Mark. So it could be his physical son or his, you know, quote unquote, spiritual son, Mark. We don't know, but we know there's a guy named Mark and he's sending his greetings. And I'm assuming, I think we should assume that the people who are receiving this know who Mark is as well. But when he says she was in Babylon, that's unclear because it could mean the Jewish Christians in Babylon. It could. I think that's less likely. I think he's being figurative here, but he could mean because there even at this day there still was a Jewish. A very large Jewish contingent of people in Babylon who never returned after the exile. They set up camp. A lot of people came back. A lot of people stayed. And then a lot of people distributed throughout the Greco-Roman world from that place as well. So there's Jews everywhere, but there is a concentration of Jews in Babylon. And by this point, we do know that there are Christians there as well. And so he could be speaking literally about Babylon. And I feel that's a little unlikely. I think what he's saying here is more figurative in nature in that he's no longer in Jerusalem. And so he's exiled in a sense, he's expatriated from Jerusalem. And so in that sense where Jewish Christians would understand the reference here, he's saying those of us who are, have been flung outside of the Holy Land. So this figurative sense of Babylon, where we are, you know, not there. And I think most people think that Peter was writing this from Ephesus or somewhere in what would be modern day Turkey, and the letter is addressed to believers in kind of northern and modern day Turkey. And so I think the Babylon here is figurative, and I think the Jewish audience would have very easily understood that. Peter is nothing if he's not very literal and clear most of the time, and so this is maybe the one bit of license he takes with what would have probably been a very well understood idiom at the time, or you know, colloquialism that, hey, we're in Babylon because we're no longer in Jerusalem. The persecution caused them all to leave eventually. And so I think that's what he's referencing here. But who knows? Maybe he's talking about the believers in literal Babylon. It doesn't really fit the context. And so that's why I think he's taking his one brief moment here to use some small figurative language that would have been well understood in context. And so with that fun little bunny trail, we will end the book of First Peter. And next week we will jump into the book of Second Peter. We'll spend 2 weeks there and then we will be done. It's amazing that this study is getting close to wrapping up already. So for the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. I can't wait to see you next time.